You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
And Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life. That your word is your bond. That you do what you say you're going to do. That you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them.
It was an historic night at the Democratic National Convention. Michelle Obama, the country's first potential African-American First Lady, took center stage. She was there to not only tell the audience of Democrats, as well as members of the United States and voters, more about herself, but also to share the Barack Obama she knows as husband and father. And adding to the emotion, Senator Ted Kennedy made his first speech since having surgery and treatment for a brain tumor. Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein, she is there in Denver bringing us reports all this week from the convention. She joins us now. And good morning, Andrea. It was certainly a high-charged evening.
Good morning. Yes, it was. And obviously, especially when Kennedy came out. I mean, there was a message of the night. The message was, the Obama family is just like your family. And we'll get back to that in a moment. But that theme was punctuated by this moment when Ted Kennedy walks out on stage and we didn't know for sure that he was going to come out. There was a Kennedy family video and it was, you know, all of the Kennedys and there had been reports that Ted Kennedy was sick and or hadn't been feeling well because of his flight out. And then he comes out on the stage and there's just pandemonium. And this is, after all, probably the last time a Kennedy of his generation will ever address a Democratic convention. And that point was brought home by this quote.
And I pledge to you that I will be there next January on the floor of the United States Senate when we begin the great fight.
So you can see, I mean, he couldn't even get through the sentence, but the emotional pitch remained high through his entire speech. And I was standing with the Massachusetts delegation, and they were just overcome with emotion as he wrapped up his speech. I mean, people literally couldn't talk except to say that they really were believing what he said, that he would be there in January, because, of course, he is very sick with brain cancer.
And there were actually some people in the audience who were wiping away tears.
You know, this is the kind of thing that happens at a Democratic convention. And, you know, I should mention that, you know, not people watch the speeches and they see the, you know, highlights, but, you know, a lot of what happens also at the convention is sort of what happened between Kennedy and the next big speaker of the night, which was Michelle Obama, which is especially on the Monday night when people are arriving, because people are seeing each other for the first time. Maybe they're people they haven't seen in 4 years, and everybody is hugging and kissing and chatting and schmoozing and not paying so much attention to the speakers. So during this period between Kennedy and Michelle Obama, I was walking around and I was talking to people about the Obama campaign, and there was this palpable sense of anxiety, both about how, you know, Michelle Obama was going to do and whether she was going to land her punch, but also just about the campaign. And people were feeling it isn't where they thought it was going to be 2 months ago. It is neck and neck, according to the latest polls, a dead heat. And Democrats coming out of the primary thought that everything was on their side. They were going to win it. And here they are, and they are having to introduce the Obama family to the nation and make their case in a way they did not expect.
And he's the same man who drove me and our new baby daughter home from the hospital 10 years ago this summer, inching along at a snail's pace, peering at us anxiously through the rearview mirror, feeling the whole weight of her future in his hands, determined to give her everything he'd struggled so hard for himself, determined to give her something he never had. The affirming embrace of a father's love.
So that was Michelle Obama. And, you know, as she had been giving her speech, I mean, she was standing there at the podium. She's very tall, and she's almost 6 feet tall. She was wearing this green dress, and she was standing there. I was sort of off at the side so I could, you know, really get a good view of her. She was standing with her palms up, almost as if she was beseeching the crowd. And it wasn't until that quote that you just heard where this sort of jolt went through the crowd. I mean, she had been talking about her family life in Chicago, about her upbringing, about when she met Barack Obama. And then she talks about this sense of sort of his wanting to be a good father and his nervousness for the country. And that is the moment where everybody stood up and they began to pay attention. And then she wraps it all up at this moment at the end of the speech, mm-hmm. where she says, this is what happens. This is what we want to be able to tell all children when they are tucked to bed at night.
They'll tell them how this time we listen to our hopes instead of our fears. How this time we decided to stop doubting and to start dreaming. How this time, in this great country where a girl from the south side of Chicago can go to college and law school, and the son of a single mother from Hawaii can go all the way to the White House.
So that was how she wrapped up. And I mean, by then people were crying, and it was sort of tears of emotion and tears of relief that, you know, she had managed to establish this connection, this sort of universal parent connection with America, that, you know, we are doing this because we care for our children. We care for the next generation.
And speaking of that, there was actually a little bonanza at the end of her speech that it was a little unexpected, but some people thought staged and others thought not.
Well, it's kind of funny because what happened is his two daughters, Sasha and Malia, came out on stage and they're waving to the crowd. And, you know, that might have been the end of it. And then up pops Barack Obama's face on the big video and everybody starts to cheer. He's in some kind of hotel room in Kansas City, Missouri. And he says, hello, Michelle. And he starts to praise Michelle. And he starts to make the point, and you're going to hear it in just a second in the clip we're going to play. He starts to make the point that the family he's with from Missouri is just like us. Get it? That's the theme of the night, just like us. But guess what happens? Sasha jumps in and cuts him off and he never gets to make the point. And here she is.
Hey, Michelle,
you were
unbelievable, and you also look very cute.
Thank you.
That's Sasha.
And listen, I'm here with the Gerardo family here in St. Louis. This is Jim and Alicia, and like us, they've got daughters.
And that pretty much ended it. Whatever point Barack Obama
was trying
to
get it out, but she was not going to let him get that out.
But, you know, I mean, it was funny because it was sort of an unscripted moment in this scripted moment, but it couldn't have been better if they had scripted it because she created this sense of reality about
the
Barack Obama
family. Yeah, which is children sometimes don't let their parents speak, even if your parent has to be running for president.
So it was this incredible sort of conclusion to the night, and then everybody exhaled. They're like, okay, day one, we did what we needed to do.
And let's talk about how they're going to build on that today as we look forward. But I want to ask you a quick question. This came from one of our listeners. He writes on our website, since the precedent has been set for the wife of an ex-president running for the office of president herself, I think the first woman president of the United States will be Michelle Obama. When are we going to bring that into the conversation? Dennis, we just did. What do you think, Andrea?
Well, Michelle Obama is not a public speaker. And one of the things about her, I mean, she is a public speaker. She's a known person, but not on the national political stage. And one of the things that really happened last night is this was her real introduction to America as a speaker and as a person. But she's not someone like Hillary Clinton, who was seen for quite a long time to have political ambitions of her own, unlike Barack Obama. So she was really sort of there to kind of deliver the punch for him, not to run for office herself.
And quickly, how do you think the Barack campaign is now going to try to build on the Ted Kennedy speech, the Michelle Obama speech today?
Well, I spoke to the number of people in the Barack Obama campaign yesterday, and there still is a lot of anxiety, but there is a feeling as this convention goes on and as the campaign goes on, they're going to be drawing lots of sharp contrasts between John McCain and Barack Obama. We heard some of that last night. I think we'll be hearing more and more of it as the week goes on, because they really want to get those people who are feeling, mm-hmm. well, I want change, but I feel kind of comfortable with John McCain, to feel uncomfortable with John McCain. McCain. That's their task for the rest of the week.
Andrea Bernstein, thank you.
Thank you.
Look out for Andrea Bernstein and the Takeaway political folks who are down there covering, or up there, I should say, in Denver covering the convention on our website at thetakeaway.org, and listen for them on the show. Andrea Bernstein, our Takeaway political director, reporting from Denver.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.